Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing birds on the program today. Rich Guthrie is here to help answer your questions about them. A veteran birder, a former NCON specialist, and at one time was a compiler of the Catskill, New York Christmas Bird Count for the National Audubon Society. Rich is our resident avian expert. Also joining us today, Nancy Castillo of Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop in Saratoga Springs. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, WAMC.org/VoxPop, or you can check in on Facebook at Facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet us at WAMC VoxPop, or you can email us at VoxPop@WAMC.org. All right, that's how you can communicate. Now we'll start the show. Nancy and Rich, welcome. Nice to have you here after the fun drive.
Hey, it's good to be here, Ray.
Nice to be back.
It's nice to be back to regular programming, and thanks to everybody who chipped in during the drive so we could be here with you today. And the lines are loaded already. But quickly, I mentioned to you, Rich, that, you know, yesterday after the rain, I watched what we discovered were robins, thanks to your book, out in my backyard picking at the ground, and you said they were picking for worms. And then you said something which really floored me. Explain what you said.
Well, what I was talking about was out there, birds learn tricks.
Yeah.
And there's a trick that the gulls have seemed to have developed, and that is, you know, worms can't stay underground if it's flooded. They have to come out and find, relocate.
Yeah.
So when it rains, they want to surface and move away from a low spot, let's say. So what I've seen out there were the gulls, ringbill and herring gulls,
yeah,
both of them, in a lawn area, standing there and almost dancing, doing a tap dance with their toes,
yeah,
on the surface, as if to imitate the sound of rain coming down. And then every now and then, they'd jump down and grab a worm and go continue with their little song and dance.
That's amazing.
I know it. Isn't it remarkable?
Nate,
it's just one of those things. And you don't get to see it often, but when you do, you say, wow, neat.
Nature is really wonderful. And Nancy, you don't sell worms at Wild Birds Unlimited?
We actually sell live mealworms.
Do you really?
Yes.
Mealworms are great bird food.
They are. Bluebirds love them, but I've been having so much fun this spring feeding them to my chickadees. And they, in all this rain, they are loving it.
Really?
And when the birds learn that you have mealworms, you become their best friend in a real big hurry.
Well, we have plenty of calls on the line already. Let's go right to the phones. Merle in Argyle, you're first. Hi, Merle.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
My question has to do with baby birds and learning how to fly.
Mm-hmm.
I just always assumed that they flew right out of the nest. They don't?
No, they don't. They have most baby birds. And, you know, it's kind of a remarkable thing is how do they get onto that skill? And most of these little guys come out of the nest not, you know, just having their training wheels on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work. You know, you see them make these awkward landings trying to get onto a branch in a shrub, and they go crashing into it and, so, you know, flop around for a little while. I was watching a red-winged blackbird the other day trying to land in a cattails. And difficult as it is to fly, landing is even tougher. You have to know how to when to apply the brakes and when to put out the legs and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, you're right. It's a tough go. And some of them don't get much opportunity to learn. It's like from the top of the tree to the ground. And they
right.
better have something and some skills develop in a big hurry.
Yeah, because what happened was I had three baby bluebirds get out of the nest and into a little packet of flowers, and unfortunately we have cats, so I put them back in the nest, but I just went out, I don't know, it's about 4 or 5 days later and to clean out the bluebird nest, and two of them were dead. So did I kill them, or should I have put them in the bushes away from the...
Well, the first order of business is to rein in those cats. I mean,
right.
that would give those guys a much better chance out there. And, you know, I don't want to it is a sore topic between bird people and cat people, but cats are a significant, serious issue in the backyard environment out there. Now, as far as you're handling the birds, no, that should not have been a real factor.
And so putting them back in the box probably didn't hurt them any.
But no, that didn't. I wouldn't think that that was the cause of what their demise.
It would have been better to put them in a shrub or something, or in the.
Well, they came out of the nest ready to go, and I'm wondering if perhaps the two that or the ones that you found in a nest were just predisposed. In other words, they're not the ones that you saw. They were already. This kind of climate, this weather we're having right now, is very tough for nestling birds.
So it's still possible that they all just survived it.
Yeah, the ones you saw probably did. If they were able to get out of the nest box and over to the shrub, the chances are that they were ready to go, and you're putting them back just kind of, you know, two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah. All right, Merle, thanks a lot for the call. Nancy, you want to chime in?
Well, Rich, I was just going to ask you, isn't it true that if all five babies had fledged and two of them were put back in the nest, there's a chance that those parents wouldn't check back in that nest?
They would. They hear the baby say, I'm hungry, and they will go through great lengths to bring food to that baby, no matter where the baby is.
Now, I remember as a kid, and I only saw this once or twice, when a nest was knocked out of a tree and it was in our lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom always said, you can never touch the babies because the birds, the mommy birds, will smell you and not go near the babies.
Well, you know, that's a favorite old country tale that I like to hear. But it's not true.
Okay. And are you saying my mother was a liar?
No, she was just trying to look out for your best interest.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's go back to the phones. It's Peter in Otis. Peter, you're on.
Hi. We have a problem with a magnolia warbler.
Okay.
He keeps flying into the window, and he's been doing this for about 3 weeks, banging up against the window.
Well, that's
I've noticed that there's a nest of baby warblers very near the house.
Okay.
What's going on?
Well, this happens. It's the first I've heard of it with a magnolia warbler. Magnolia warbler is one of the more beautiful birds out there. It's just a tiny little flash of yellow with black highlights.
A beautiful bird.
A beautiful bird, no question. He's just doing his job. He's protecting his territory from that other magnolia warbler. That he perceives, that he thinks is in his territory. It's only his reflection in the glass. And
On a day like this, when it's raining, he can still see his reflection?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you can take steps to prevent that. One way would be to reduce the reflection, turn on a light on the inside so that it cuts down on the reflective quality of the glass.
Yeah,
and the other thing is to, for the time being, and it won't last very long, he'll be over it pretty soon, put something on the glass that will block the reflection.
Oh, okay.
And then he'll get on to the important business of taking care of the family.
Okay.
And a nice real temporary way to reduce that reflection, too, is to put soap on the windows.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's a common problem. Thanks a lot for the call, Peter. That's a common problem.
It is. Glass is something birds and nature is not ready to adapt to. It's just not in their system. And when they see a reflection, their alarm bells go off, and it says, you know, territory in peril.
They won't learn after a couple of whacks against the window that it's really them.
Apparently not, because those that are onto that just don't know when to give up. It's just such a strong instinct for them to protect their territory that they can't take any chances.
Okay. Our guest today, Rich Guthrie, he's our resident bird expert, and our sometimes guest is here as well, Nancy Castillo of Wild Birds Unlimited. Back to the phones we go at 1-800-348-2551. Glenn in Round Top, you're on.
Yes. This is in regards to, a parliament of owls.
Okay.
Okay, and last year around this time, it was, 1 in the morning or something like that, and I heard owls, it seemed like, all over. The hills were alive with the sound of hooting.
Yeah.
And there were different pitches, and they seemed to be answering, like going back and forth to one another.
Yes.
And then I just heard it again last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my guess is what you were hearing were barred owls.
Okay.
And I know Ray, you know, gets upset when I do this, but let me do a little imitation.
Oh, I love this. Oh, this is great. You're lucky, Glenn. Here we go.
No, we're not. Here we go. This is what a barred owl sounds like, and you tell me if this is close to what you've been hearing.
That's a monkey.
That That's pretty much it. Sounds
yeah,
like
and that. Then they go into this other one where they, that, you know, it's a family affair where you'll get the one and then the other and then the babies. And
okay. And are we going to have a duet here? Are you going to do it too, Nancy?
Well, go in.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah. See, and that's what they do back and forth. And they so you're a lucky man there.
They were at different pitches, though.
Yes,
too,
male,
like.
Female, young, old, and different stories they want to tell.
Right, and then when I had to go out to listen to this. It was like 12:30 in the morning.
Good for you.
But then it ended up like a Doppler effect almost. You could hear it like going from one side to the other, and then kind of faded off, and they were kind of going off into the distance.
Moving on.
Wow.
They were moving on.
Well, Glenn,
oh,
we have to move into a break, and I appreciate your call. And, you know, hearing all these bird calls, it's been a long, fun drive.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I may be hallucinating, but let's take a break, and we'll resort, and we'll be back.
Support comes from Field Goods, making weekly deliveries of local produce to customers at their workplace and community sites. Fresh food from small farms. Field-goods.com. And Earth Angels Veterinary Hospital, Wappingers Falls, an integrative facility that combines conventional and holistic medicine for a 360-degree approach to veterinary care. EarthAngelsVet.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Number to call, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Rich Guthrie, our regular bird expert, and Nancy Castillo of Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop in Saratoga Springs joins us from time to time, and she is with us. You played a part of the fun drive.
Yes, we are. We kind of hooked up with Don and Lillian Stokes with some field guides that they had donated, and what we are promoting is our... Don and Lillian are going to be in the area for a book signing in August. We have our 10th anniversary in August, mm-hmm. and on Saturday, August 17th, from 1 to 5 p.m., they're going to be in our store signing books. Don and Lillian are nationally known. They used to have a TV program. They're authors, photographers, naturalists, behavioralists.
Yeah.
And they're going to, second time they're going to come to our store for a book signing, so we're really
outstanding.
Pretty pleased and looking forward to
that's
it.
That's a tremendous book, too.
And they are big stars in the world of bird watching.
Yeah, will you go?
I will love to.
Will you be at the, you know, on the side of the red carpet throwing roses as they come in?
And bowing, yes.
Good for you, Rich Guthrie. Rich Guthrie is our guest as well, Nancy Castillo. And then we have our producer, Patrick Donjas, who has ambled in unannounced with some stuff from social media.
I meant to make it in for the break. Can you hear me?
I can hear you right now. Can you hear yourself?
No, I can't.
All right, let's crank
maybe
it up.
I have the wrong. Oh, no.
There
maybe.
We go. No?
I don't know if I'm plugged in.
How about
there
that?
We go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Now you
Thank
can hear
you,
yourself.
Ray.
We can proceed.
Hi, guys.
I thought
Hello.
You wanted in on the bird calls.
Yes, I did. I flew
caw,
in.
Caw.
Josh, that's at top of the end on Twitter, tweets, I live in Saugerties and love the great Vlie. What birds can I expect to see there in June and July?
Well, good topic there, because at the Great Vlie, which is actually straddles the Ulster and Greene County line on West Camp Road in northern Ulster County,
yeah.
is the place where there's lots of variety going on right now. In fact, the king of the show is the king rail, which is a very rare bird in New York State.
Okay.
There's been a king rail at the Great Vlie for several weeks now, and the presumption is that he has set up housekeeping, found a mate, and they are happily raising a family of king and queen and prince and princess whales out there.
So, I mean, what do they look like? Are they big birds?
Chicken-sized birds. They're rusty brown. They have bold black and white stripes on them, and they have a long, thin bill that they use to probe into the mud and in between the cattail roots, looking for snails and other goodies.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, a couple more. Pamela on Facebook asks, I've been wondering for some time if the birds you see living in big box home improvement stores have an advantage over those living in more natural settings, or if they leave themselves open to different hazards. Has anyone studied them? What do you guys think?
They get a 5% employee discount.
Right,
I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, on lumber.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this, that they are generally not welcome in the big box stores, and the management in those stores, either for one reason or another, feel compelled or are directed to rid them,
to
so that they
them.
Do not have a good advantage.
Right. Okay.
Yep. I'd be concerned about all the poisons that.
Well,
out for
the manner
pests,
in which they get rid of them, is a matter of concern. For
okay.
She also says, by the way, the nest I asked about a few weeks ago may have been a dud. I waited a month as advised, but when I went to remove it, discovered there was one egg there, and I suspected it was the one which scared me off, a non-viable egg from moving. So she'd asked about moving a nest.
I remember.
And then Julie on Facebook asked, I wonder if you guys could comment on the birding movie The Big Year. Is the movie realistic? Is it possible to travel all over the place to search for hundreds of species? I'd title the movie Self-Indulgence, but I digress.
Well, here's the story. Bird watching is what you make it. It's a personal thing. It is how you go. It can be just a simple backyard momentary distraction, or it can be a worldwide quest. And The Big Year is a takeoff on an actual event that that did happen with three guys. A fascinating story amongst these three guys. The movie took a different spin on it and made it into more of a comedy or a farce.
Yeah.
But the serious side of it was actually the psychological reality of this kind of quest.
Mm.
And it made a very interesting read. I happen to know two of the three.
Oh.
And I and
what do they think?
I haven't spoken to them since the movie had come out, or the book for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But nonetheless, so it is what you make it.
Great.
One of them did assist in the making of the movie, that Greg Miller did.
So. Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
So he was a consultant. Again, the movie and the book were far different.
Okay.
All right.
Very nice. Rich, Nancy, thank you very much.
Our producer, Patrick Donges. Thank you, Patrick. All right. So... You know, you've gone on these quests. You've been down south and seeing the fabled and mythical woodpecker.
Ivory-billed woodpecker.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And so how far did you have to go for Alabama or Louisiana?
Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
So and you got back, and some people didn't even believe you saw the thing.
Well, I don't blame them. I didn't believe it when I went down there that these things existed, but I had the opportunity to join in a search to document whether or not they really did exist. And... after on my second trip down there, after a lengthy quest, I did manage to find them.
Our guest is Rich Guthrie, also Nancy Castillo of Wild Birds Unlimited. Let's go back to the phones. Bob, 10 miles north of Utica. Bob, thanks for holding. Where are you exactly?
I'm in the town of Steuben.
Hey.
Steuben.
Welcome aboard. Nice to have you here.
I've been waiting for some time for Rich and Nancy to come on to ask this question.
Good.
The last couple of weeks, we've seen no birds in our area. We have lots of birds. We have a lot of evergreen trees, especially Norway spruce, and the birds seem to just love them. They can hide in them and be unseen. And at any rate, there's appear to be about four of them. These pretty good-sized black birds, which are probably a foot long, and they have a very unusual shape. And that's not all that's unusual about them. They have quite a long neck, and their stomach appears to be at the lower end of their neck before the wings, or in front of the wings. So there's quite a lot of body in the fore part of the bird before the wings. And they go along, and they can duck up and down very quickly, and they get into the trees, and they make sort of a grinding sound or a scratching sound or something in the trees. I didn't know what kind of an animal it was.
Hmm.
It was in the trees, and they could do it for quite a length of time, half an hour, maybe an hour, and then suddenly appear out of the tree and boom, and go to the other side of the yard and go into the other trees and do the same thing and then possibly return. And maybe one will go or the other. And there's sort of a charcoal gray, almost a black color. And they go quite fast and they kind of swoop up and down, but they're definitely on a mission to be hidden.
Wow. I got to tell you, I think you may have stumped the band. I've never seen such looks on these two faces in my life. All right.
I am trying to conjure up an image of what you're seeing out there, Bob, and I'm a little hard-pressed.
Hmm.
Are there any colors on these otherwise black birds?
No, white? They're totally, appear to be totally... black or nearly black.
Yeah. And do you have any water nearby, a pond, a lake?
Yes, there is a pond close by.
Okay. And Tell me more about the shape of the bill. What's that look like?
The bill, let me think now. It seems as though it's quite short and stubby.
Oh, really?
Is it long? I'm trying to think. No, I think it's quite short.
Can you get a picture of this and email it to Rich?
Well, they move so fast, and I'm not good with a camera, but when they move, with no anticipation, all of a sudden, boom, they're out, and they only go maybe 100 feet, and they're in a different tree.
And you say there are four of them.
A long bill. My bride says a long bill.
A long bill. Well, there you
go. Yes.
Well, I'm a little hard-pressed to come up with a suggestion of what it might be. And here's the story, Bob. When I get home, I'm going to have three phone calls waiting for me from people who said, you idiot, these are...
No, wait a minute.
My good friends will have these things nailed down, and I'm here sitting wondering what we could be.
One of our listeners will have it.
One of our listeners will have it.
Hey, if you can get a picture, Bob, what is the email address, Rich?
Richard P. Guthrie.
Well, we don't have any email.
Bob.
Email.
Okay.
All right, well... paint a picture and send it to it. No, I don't know. Anyway, good luck, and maybe let us know if you can figure it out. Thanks, Bob. Let's go over to Harriet in Woodstock. Hello, Harriet.
Hi, Ray. Congratulations on
the
super fun drive.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, and here's my... Is it a question? I'm not sure.
Okay.
I found, very sadly, a lovely little bird hit and killed by a car, and I just went and looked, and it had a markedly curved bill, and it was small, almost wren-like, and sort of what I could see from what was left of it after the collision was sort of like a brown with a bit of whitish-yellow coloring on it, and a really strongly curved, downward curved bill. And, well, I've looked him up, and I have said the only bird it could be would be a brown creeper.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. I have been in this area since 1970, always had bird feeders. I've always been on the lookout all the time for nature and all the goings-on out there. I have never seen one.
Well, I'm not surprised. Brown creepers are very cryptically colored birds that will hug the side of a tree. And when they do that, they become virtually invisible. So I'm not surprised that you might have had some problem finding it. But
I can see it now.
Yeah, it's a little brown.
Hang on. I was looking at the red-breasted nuthatch. Let me look at the other one.
And Harriet, it's
wow, that's a beautiful bird. Oh, my heavens.
They're delicate little birds.
Yeah.
And have this wonderful way of flying from tree to tree. They'll fly to the base of one tree and then work its way up, much like a woodpecker, but they're working with that very thin bill, as you described, into the little interstices of the bark and pulling out spider eggs and other such gourmet delights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate. They do have, for the small size, they do have a wonderful loud song, too.
Uh-huh. Well, it was very sad to find it.
I agree.
Would it be showing up on a bird feeder at all?
No, not likely.
Not likely.
They'll stick to the side of the tree.
Yeah. Nancy?
If that bird feeder happens to be on the tree itself, that would be your best option. Quite unusual to see at the bird feeder.
Are they fairly common?
They are fairly common.
Okay.
But because they're so inconspicuous, they're hard to see. If you know what you're listening for, they're easy to hear.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear it.
Actually, it sounds like somebody taking a little tin can of birdsong notes and tossing them down the stairs.
Oh.
Wow. What a Fellini-esque description. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hey, good luck, and thanks for the call. Let's go over to Barbara in Copaic. Barbara, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I have another window-banging bird question.
Okay.
Since 2011, the fall of 2011, I have a male cardinal, and he just kept banging at the windows in my bedroom, which are, one is north-facing and one is west-facing, and he goes from one to the other all day long. This was for a couple of months in the fall of 2011. Then he came back in the spring of 2012, And he's come back every fall and spring since then. It seems to be the same cardinal. And I've hung blockings up over the windows so he doesn't get a reflection, and it doesn't stop him. And he comes every spring and fall, and he's still here now, actually.
Well, it seems like he's learned that there, you know, it's sort of like the hound at the rabbit hole. Once he's seen that that rabbit dodge into that hole, he'll be back again and again and again looking for that rabbit that is probably long gone. So I'm just theorizing that that bird saw his reflection, thought he's in there still hiding, and is waiting to confront him time and again.
I'm going to go back to the soap and say, put a little soap on the, you know, where you see him, on the outside of the window, not the inside of the window.
So. Well, he hangs on the screen also.
Ah, there's a screen there. Well, he's very determined. But again, he's reacting to a reflection.
Even if the reflection is no longer there.
Well, that's the mysterious part. That's with the rabbit hole and the hound thing.
Interesting.
Well, I thought that's what it was. And now I have one more quick question.
Sure.
Just an identifying bird call. This bird wakes me up every morning also. It's kind of two long noises, like a tweet, tweet, and then chirp, 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 chirp.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
It sounds like your cardinal.
Now I hear him clicking.
Well, he'd do that too. But the cardinal song sounds just like what you described.
Okay, so it's the same bird.
Yeah, my whistle is a little...
Nancy, you want to join in on this?
Cheer, cheer.
Yes,
cheer,
yes,
cheer.
Right. A little
yes, and then the chirp, 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 chirp.
Yes, and that's right. It's a what? Cheer, 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 cheer.
Yes.
All right, Nancy, good
Splendid.
Job.
Splendid. And thank you for that, eliciting that. I appreciate it. Thanks very much for the call. 1-800-323. Oh, nope, that's the fun drive number. Darn it. I thought I was going to get through the whole show without doing the fun drive number. 1-800-348-2551 is the number for Vox Pop. By the way,
hound and a rabbit hole.
It's just crossed the wire. Flash flood warning in effect for Fulton and Montgomery counties in New York. Fulton and Montgomery counties until 5:30. That is a flash flood warning for Fulton and Montgomery counties in New York until 5:30 p.m. Let's go back to the phones. Sally in Sheffield. Sally.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
I've just been listening to your talk about the cardinal. I had a cardinal for years, the same cardinal doing exactly the same thing forever. This year, I started with a goldfinch, and then he disappeared for a bit. And now I have what I think has got to be, according to Sibley and Peterson, as a redstart.
Okay.
And he has been here now for a week. I'm beginning to worry about him because he's so tiny. I mean, the warbler size that I think he's going to wear himself out. But then he disappeared for a moment, and the goldfinch is back. Would a redstart have joined a goldfinch group? We have a lot of goldfinches around this year.
No.
I've never seen a redstart up here, but I could have missed him, but he's very distinct.
Yes, he is. And no, it's not likely that he's teaming up with the goldfinches for whatever reason. He's out there on his own. And are you saying that he is also bumping into the window?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All week he has been.
Yeah.
Then the goldfinch came back last night.
Well, I think Nancy's suggestion would apply here as well. And that
no, I've been watching him. I don't want him. I want him to do it because I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
that's all right.
But it's been wonderful to observe him. The redstart will sit there on a little branch and preen himself, clean himself, do everything, and pay no attention to me. Then come back and do the bang, bang, banging again.
Well, that part is not good for him.
No, it isn't.
So I would try to discourage that. And if he has to go up back into his territory, good for him. And so you have to think of the best interests of the bird itself, rather, and try to distract or discourage him from bumping into your window. That's not good. He should be taking care of the family out there and spending his time gathering food and singing a song.
All right.
You know, Richard mentioned earlier about how difficult I don't know how much rains you've been having there in Massachusetts, but we've had a ton of rain, and so many birds, the warblers, and even a lot of our feeder birds, during the summer, they eat insects. And the availability of insects during these heavy rains, it becomes difficult to find food.
Yeah.
So I think that you also see some stranger behaviors during this in their search for food and everything. Oh. So that red start is an insect eater. So he could be having a little tough time finding food for the family.
Hey, Sally, we got to take a break here, but thank you so much for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, Rich Guthrie and Nancy Castillo. Birds! More coming up.
Support comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. And Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, a master's in social work program helping to prepare students for careers to address the emerging needs of society. Adelphi.edu/Hudson Valley.
And once again, thanks to everyone who chipped in during our $1 million fund drive, which ended yesterday afternoon about 5:30. And thanks again to everybody who is a part of this station. We cannot do it without you, and that's why we do it. So it's because of you that we continue.
And it's for you.
And it's for you. And Patrick Dodges
you
is
and
here
for you
with something special just for you.
Well, we've got a couple of hits on social media. Our very own Vox Pop Copyright Forum panelist, Polly Law, checked in on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, and said, the black-crested night heron, in response to the call about the large black mystery bird.
Ah.
Well, black-crowned night heron. Mm. That's a good—in fact, that was kind of along the lines I was thinking.
Okay.
However—
But Polly's copyrighted it now, so you can't think that.
I'm a little reluctant to go all the way with that because they are scarce in the area, and it would be very significant if that were the case. And they have a very striking white belly. I mean, very striking.
Well, now remember, our caller was 10 miles north of Utica, so that's just, you know, the cusp of the Adirondacks.
It's out just at the possibility of where they may be, no question. And in fact, they used to be in this area in far greater numbers. And I'm hoping that someday they will make a strong comeback. The black-crowned night heron, a good possibility.
Okay.
They would go through that procedure. They are a very large bird, strikingly black and white.
Okay. And now we have an email, subject line crows, from Herman in Pittsfield. That's voxpop@wamc.org. Says, hey, what's the story with crows? What's their purpose? Why are they so loud?
Hey.
Hey, you know, we all have our ways, and they got theirs. and what I say is don't mess with the crows.
They're not as loud as the ravens.
Well, they can be. You get a bunch of them together.
A murder of them?
Well, you know, that's what they say. You know, we'll go into that another. The collective nouns for bird groups.
Yes.
I heard somebody mention
a parliament of something or other.
What is that about?
Pack of parliaments.
And exaltation of locks. Oh, anyway, here we go.
All right. So
I have this
we
thing
digress.
About the collective
a crow is a crow, I think.
A crow is a crow, and I love them. I feed them. I like them, and they come to me, and they talk to me, and I talk back to them. You should hear some of our conversations.
I was going to say, well, we should tell Herman to get in touch with this local murder of crows.
Have a chat.
Yeah. And again,
hugely intelligent birds.
Rich's discussions with birds, also another topic for another program.
And what they tell me.
Thanks,
Patrick
guys.
Donges, thank you. Let's go back to the phones. Tim in Gilderland. Tim, you're on.
Thank you. I have one primary question, and maybe you can help me with this, is why do you feed birds anyway? I mean, birds have been living for 2 million years.
Well, no problem. It's a very selfish motive on my part. And I think basically to get them come to you where you can see them a little easier. They'll get along fine without us and our fruit and the food if we take care of the environment that's around them. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if a bird comes closer to me and hangs out in my backyard and he's happy, I'm happy.
You can.
Okay, that's a fair answer to a fair question.
Yep.
Nancy,
yeah, sure. You have a great opportunity to observe behaviors that you wouldn't see typically if they were further back in the woods or in their natural habitat. As they come up to the bird feeders, you're able to watch their behaviors, and you know. I own a bird store, but I will say that the birds never become dependent on those bird
feeders.
They'll
always be able to get their own food.
Oh yeah, you take those feeders down, and they'll find food elsewhere. So
they will. And the other question I have in this, and because you have the experts there, I wake up really early in the morning, and I wake up before the sun comes up, and when the sun starts to come up, I can hear birds. They start when the sky starts to lighten,
mm-hmm.
and I hear these birds. And I guess you guys, because you guys know this stuff, they're called vocalizations. They're tweets or chirps or whatever.
Songs,
and they're in a series of three or four, almost uniformly. Almost uniformly is like tweet tweet tweet, or chirp 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 chirp, and mm-hmm. it's like three or four. And it's just it doesn't mean anything, and I'm sorry to bother you with it, but it's so funny that it's almost uniformly like that.
Well, it means a lot to the birds, and I'll go into that a little. Bird song is usually the realm of the males. It's the guys that sing, and what they're doing is defending their territory. You know, that's how they settle their border disputes. They sing. What a concept.
Yeah.
And. And when they, you know, that they're singing first thing in the morning, I like to think, you know, it's a little far-fetched thinking on my part. It's a little paranoia on their parts. Most of our songbirds migrate at night. And these guys wake up in the morning saying, if you're new in town, keep moving because this place is taken.
It's a territorial thing. And the other thing is, I think it's a territorial thing. I also think they're looking for food and girls.
Yeah, they're out there.
There you go.
They're out there singing and dancing, hoping that the ladies will find them.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. Now, you know, you can actually get birds to talk back to you, right?
Well, what you're doing is the same thing as that reflection in the window, except that it's a harmless way. And I always say, let the little guy win. If you're going to talk to a bird,
let him
make
get the
sure
last
that
word.
He comes out with the last word.
Interesting. So, in other words, if you keep going, he'll keep going.
Yeah, there's a very good possibility that you may win. Discourage him from his territory. You know, if you're bigger and stronger sounding, you may move him on.
Fascinating.
Or if there's too many of you.
Very interesting indeed. Let's go to Chris in Chicopee. Chris, you're on.
Hi. I hung a thistle feeder outside my window, and I have three cats in the house. So I wanted to make sure that they couldn't see the cats because they sit at the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the local store that sells the tint for car windows
mm-hmm.
and put the piece of plastic on my window.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers the entire window, and the birds are literally 6 inches away. And the cats can pound on the window. The birds don't see them. And I don't seem to have anybody hitting the window.
Okay, there's a thought.
I know that I had polarized things, but they were too small. They wouldn't cover the whole window, and this seems to have been a good solution.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Have you looked at the window from the outside to see if that has increased the reflective value of the window?
No, it's dark.
Okay. Well, good.
It's not shiny per se. It's darker. And, you know, the cats have been sitting on the other side, and I've looked into the window, and they just can't see them.
And if the bird was sitting out there, he's not seeing himself or the reflection
nope.
of the woods?
Well, that's nope. He's just paying attention to the feeder.
Well, that's a good thought.
Chris,
I put it on the inside of the storm window. So
and
that.
And the feeder's right on the window, Chris?
It's about 6 inches away. It's hanging on an awning right outside.
Well, it sounds like a fun thought.
It seems to have worked for me, and it keeps the cats entertained, and the birds don't see them, and they continue to feed.
A happy cat indoors is a happy cat, and the people with
them. Yes.
Okay.
Yep, they don't go out.
It's well known that Rich does not like cats.
Outdoors.
Oh.
I see.
I love cats.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay, because that's not
indoors.
The feeling I'm getting.
Indoors.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. Nancy Castillo of Wild Birds Unlimited here. Also our regular bird expert, Rich Guthrie, and Catherine in Canaan, New York. Catherine,
Hi.
You're on.
Catherine, that's me.
That's you.
That's me. have. I am a very amateur bird watcher, and whenever I see a bird that I haven't seen, I always go look it up.
Okay.
And I saw a bird that I've never seen, and I can't find it anywhere. I've tried a number of online resources plus both of my books.
Okay.
It was a large blackbird. He was about the size of a crow. He was much larger than a red-winged blackbird, but he had a scarlet. I thought it was his chest, but then he just flitted across the road. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe they were epaulets, or maybe it was a cape. I don't know. But this guy, he was this big blackbird with a brilliant, brilliant red, scarlet, I thought, chest.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find him anywhere. Do you have any ideas?
Have you seen him more than once?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know what to think. I'm just hoping that it's still around so that we could get some more information.
This could be a rare one?
This could be an extremely rare bird. Nancy? I'm deferring because
sure
I'm not coming up with something.
You're sure about the size?
How big was the bird?
It was about the size of a crow.
Okay.
And you say scarlet, red, and black?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, once again, I'm sure one of our listeners out there is yelling at the phone, saying at the radio, saying, I know what it is. And I don't, Catherine.
Wow.
All right.
Now, Catherine, have you seen it more than once?
No, I only saw it the one time I was on my way home. I live on a dirt road, and I was just driving on my dirt road, and it just flew across the road. And I was like, whoa, that is such a wild bird. I've never seen something like that. And I went right home, and I tried to look it up, and I just can't find it.
So is this near any water, deep woods, open fields?
It's deep woods and some swamp within the woods.
I'm wondering if it might have been one of the waterfowl. I'm trying to think outside the box at the moment here and come up with something. And if I do, I'll let you know.
Yeah, okay. And your email address, Rich?
Richard P. Guthrie. Common spelling.
If, well, all right.
Yes. At gmail.com.
So Richard P. Guthrie, and that's G-U-T-H-R-I-E.
Correct.
At gmail.com. Hey, if you bring your camera with you for the next few weeks, Catherine, and see if you can snap this thing.
Yeah, I would have probably wrecked the car, but.
not while you're driving. That's a good point. Well, thank you for the call, and sorry you stumped the band.
Well, that's okay. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you, Catherine.
It's Molly's turn. Molly and Saugerty. Molly, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a crazy experience. I was driving along River Road in Saugerty's last year.
Yeah.
I mean, in Dutchess County, across from Saugerty's, along the Hudson River.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly my windshield was absolutely covered. I couldn't see. I had to pull over with bird poo.
My heavens.
Oh, my.
A direct hit.
I looked up. There were a lot of trees. I didn't see any birds. I was on my way to work. I wiped off a spot so I could see and carried on. But I've been wondering what kind of bird could drop that much.
It's a big bird.
A big bird, yeah.
It's a pterodactyl.
You know, there's a book out there that it's called something like What Bird Did That? And it's a spoof, but... you know, I can't...
Can you describe the...
No.
No, don't. No, please don't, actually. Forget it.
I'm thinking there's probably a high-flying bird that was well long gone before you even got wind of its being there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was long gone. It could have been a heron way up in the high in the sky, and they do that,
okay.
You know.
Had spent some time at an all-you-can-eat buffet, and, well, you were in line.
There's a southern colloquial name for that kind of bird, which I can't use here.
I'm glad you're not going to do that.
It is a common name that is in frequent use down there.
Okay. Well, Molly, that was the most interesting one we've had all day. Thank you very much for the call.
No pictures, please.
No. Well, I did take pictures because I wanted to show my friends like that this actually happened to me. I mean, I've never seen so much bird poo in my life.
Oh, well, then you, Richard P. Guthrie at gmail.com. Please send it to him.
I'll send you a picture. Maybe you can... seeing whatever was in the poo that the animal ate, that the bird ate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thanks very much for that was a good one, Molly. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Molly, thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Steve in Woodford, Vermont. Steve, you're on.
Hi, this is, thank you. This is in regards to the birds fighting with themselves in the window. I've had very good luck with surveyor's tape, which you can get at a hardware store, and I either tape it or push pin it to the sash above the window and just let it hang down like streamers, and they don't have a problem with the window anymore.
Well, good idea. And I encourage that, and also some reflective silver mylar type tapes that you can use. If you can stand it, I say go for it, and let's hope it will work, Nancy.
Yep, the mylar tape available in little rolls of 100 feet, and like you said, just in the area where they are, either staple them or tape them on.
The only drawback is, then you look out your window and you see the surveyor's tape.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Some people would rather not have to look at that.
And you hear it, too.
Flapping around.
I actually have some on the house right now, and you just hear this constant.
On the plus
flap.
Side, it's good for the birds.
It keeps the window clean.
Aha.
Good
there
point.
You go.
Hey, Steve, thanks a lot. Let's go to Jeff in Gardner. Jeff, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you so much for the show. And hello, Rich and Nancy and Ray.
Hello.
I was mostly calling because I wanted to know if I could send Richard a couple of pictures that my daughter sent me about a giant raptor that's set on a fire escape at her apartment. It's just around 125th Street and Riverside Drive. It's a very mottled color. It looked to me like maybe it would be immature. I went through a million pictures, and it looked like either a red-tailed hawk immature or an eagle immature. The pictures are taken from pretty close up. You know, they're not great quality because it was kind of evening, and they're taken through glass. But the pictures are taken from about 4 or 5 feet away.
Well, certainly.
Okay.
Send the pictures along. We'll give the email address again.
We'll go ahead and give it now.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you're going to... No, I wrote it down, richardpguthrie@gmail.com.
Correct.
And I just wanted to say that I had good luck with my giant window... when birds flew into it. My mother told me to put up a picture of owls. So I put two pictures of owls there inside my window. And, it hasn't happened since. I don't know if it works, but it hasn't happened since.
Well, that's a good idea. Birds are very cautious when it comes to taking chances with raptors, what they think are raptors. But sometimes, you know, birds will try to harass a raptor. If they see a hawk or an owl in their territory, they'll try to dive bomb it to get it out of the way.
Oh, well, that hasn't happened yet.
Because
I got two pictures there.
Okay.
All right. Well, Jeff, we're just about out of time, but good luck with that. And let's try to squeeze one more call in very quickly. Ardeen in Duanesburg, you have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll talk really fast.
I'm sorry. We're out of time. I wanted to get you in there. Hey, 40 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have a Borden Batten house, and the woodpeckers discovered that in the Batten space, some mud daubers or something built nest in there with cocoons. These woodpeckers are turning my house into a matchstick.
Oh, boy.
Pile. Yeah.
Well.
So, let me tell you what I did really fast.
Okay.
I went to a garage sale, and I bought some Christmas tree garland, that sparkly stuff.
Okay.
That comes in silver, gold.
Sure, it sounds like the mylar thing.
Yeah, and I hung it all over my house. It's fabulous in the sunshine.
Well, it sounds like a terrific architectural statement, and if it works, go for it. Otherwise, you might just hose down those mud dauber nests.
Okay.
And I have to. They're under the batten.
Yep.
So I have to pull off the batten and take them out.
Well, stick with the garland then.
Okay, Ardeen, I'm sorry, but we are out of time, and I want to thank Nancy Castillo for being here, and good luck with the book signing. And when is that again?
It's Saturday, August 17th from 1 to 5 p.m.
at Wild Birds
Don
Unlimited.
And Lillian Stokes.
In Saratoga Springs. Rich Guthrie, always a pleasure, sir. We'll see you next time.
Might, and I just want to throw in, it might have been a northern shoveler that Catherine saw in Canaan, New York.
Very good.
I got to throw that out there as a possibility.
Nice. And our own northern shoveler, Zach Malloy, handled the controls here today. Our phones were answered by intern Hannah Flack. Our Patrick Donjas is our producer. And support comes from Berkshire Health Systems, working to improve the health of people in the Berkshires and surrounding communities, berkshirehealthsystems.org, and The Glass Onion, Block Island, Rhode Island, since 1989, offering apparel, jewelry, body care, books, home and garden supplies, and kids' gear, featuring local vendors on the island's main street, Glass Onion, BlockIsland.com. All right, that's it. Moyers and Company tomorrow, Medical Monday on Monday with Alan and Dr. Eric Plakin. Thanks again for your support during the fun drive. I'm Ray Graff. I will see you next week. Stay tuned for a news update.